Galatians chapter 4 this evening. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But if under tutor and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, because as I am, for I am as ye are, ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Paul is dealing with the church, and we had spent 3 weeks prior to last week, we dealt on prayer last week, but 3 weeks prior to that, we looked at Galatians, the first three chapters, and we saw that Paul was dealing with a church, with a group of individuals that had been taught what was right. He taught them that salvation was in Jesus Christ. But Paul then found out and had heard that they began to hear false doctrine, began to believe something else, that once they were saved, they then had to go back under the law and do the works of the law. And Paul is setting them straight here throughout this book. In each chapter, we find where Paul is dealing with a proper understanding of salvation. He's dealing with a proper understanding of the law. And he's dealing here with false teachers or false doctrine that comes in and is infiltrating the church. He uses strong words in chapter number 3. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? We find in chapter number 4, there are some words that he's using, maybe not so strong, but he's using words as in verse number 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth, again unto Christ be formed in you. He's now very compassionate. He's using these words in kindness. He is showing them that although it's very upsetting, although that he feels that they've gone wrong, although they're believing some false doctrine, he realizes and wants them to understand that he loves them and he wants them to correct this, and he's wanting to help them and willing to help them. And Paul, we see his compassion there in verse number 19. And I want us to look at what Paul is attempting to teach in his theology, and he's attempting to teach here to set things back in order, set things straight here with the church here in the book of Galatians to help them understand proper doctrine. And as I look at this chapter, Paul continues his stand on his theology, and he clarifies or carefully teaches and clarifies them the benefit of the gospel. And Paul is teaching them theology here, and I want us to look at what we can learn. What can we learn from Paul as he's teaching the Galatians here in chapter number 4? You see, our theology, it ought to dictate our actions. It ought to dictate our behavior. It's what we believe, and because it's what we believe, it ought to be seen in how we behave as well. Theology is vitally important. What we believe is important, because out of it should come our identity. And so this evening, as we look at Paul's theology, I want us to see what we find here in chapter number 4 that Paul is teaching us the benefits of salvation. Paul is teaching us, number 1, as we look at these several verses here in the beginning of chapter number 4, Paul's theology is teaching us that we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, he's just reaffirming that from the previous three chapters, but he goes right into it in chapter number four as well, and he's teaching us this: we are children of God. That's very important. I believe I said this Sunday or just recently in preaching that there is many that think this: we're all children of God. The fact of the matter is, we are not all children of God. The only way to be a child of God is to be saved through Jesus Christ. You may be created, man is created by God, but that does not make us his children. We are a child of God by our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the interesting, the exciting thing that we ought to look at here this evening in the fact that we're a child of God, we have access to God our Father because he is our Father. We're his children. That is a wonderful thing to know. Those of us that are saved, we have access to the Father. John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In 1 John 3:1, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." In 1 John 2:1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have something here that we learn in Galatians chapter 4. We are a child of God. God is our Father. When we find here in verse number 6, "And because ye are the sons of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You know, as we that have children, one of the best titles that I have is dad, is father. I love when my children call my name. Each evening that we go to bed, our children go to bed, we have always done this, and my oldest is getting a little bit funny. He comes over, but the rest of them, they'll come and they'll give me a big old hug and kiss and say, "Good night, Daddy." My oldest, he comes over, kind of gives me a hug, kind of gets close, kneels in just close enough. "I love you, Dad." And it sounds like a kiss, but I didn't feel anything on my cheek, you know. But I'm glad at least he comes over. But the thing I love from each of them is I hear those words, "Dad, Father." And we, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are a child of God. We have access to the Father because of Jesus Christ. That is something that every Christian ought to enjoy. Every Christian ought to take advantage of that we have access to the Father. My little children, my children have certain advantages to the Father that other children don't have. Do you realize this? You have certain advantages. If you're a child of God, you have certain advantages to the Heavenly Father, the creator of this universe. You have certain advantages. He is your Father, and we ought to, I believe, take advantage of that. You know, my children, when they need something, they never go to the neighbors and ask them for anything. My neighbors would probably send them home saying, "Go ask your dad." My daughter Mackenzie has a field trip tomorrow, and she has been so excited about going to the symphony for her field trip tomorrow. And she has been asking and asking and asking for money to go to this field trip. She's been asking for $5. She needs $5. Every day she comes home, "Dad, I need $5 to go to this field trip." Not one time did I ever say to her, "Go ask the neighbor. Our neighbor is going to give it to you." She realized this: when she had a need, she went to her father and addressed that need, because she realized this: she has access to somebody that's there to meet the needs in her life. Well, there's no different for us that are God's, when God's our Heavenly Father, we have access to him. He is there. We have certain advantages because we are his children. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, there is a 2 o'clock in the morning every so often, we'll have a knock on the door. They don't bother even to knock on the door. We have a visitor that just climbs into bed with us. It is not the dog. It's one of our children. Every so often, she finds her way into our room. If it's raining and it's storming, my wife will say to me, "We better just stay awake, because I know Chloe eventually is going to be in this room." You know what I find? She doesn't ever even ask. She doesn't even feel awkward doing it. Matter of fact, she believes it is her right to do it. It is her responsibility when it rains to come see us. And she just crawls in, snuggles up, gets between us, and kicks me out of the bed. She has advantages because she's my child. There are certain things that she is able to do that is her right to do, and she does it because of her relationship with her father. You know, every father would have this thought of being a supplier, of thought of being a comforter, someone that brings peace, someone that brings security and help in a time of need. I would hope that as a father, that each one of my children would always think that when they needed a supplier, when they needed a comforter, when they needed peace, when they needed security, they needed help, they would always come to their father. Well, we have the same advantages with our Heavenly Father. He's there to supply our needs. He's there to bring comfort. He's there to bring peace. He's there to bring security in our life. And He's always there and always present in time of need. And so Paul is showing the church here in Galatians, we have a right, we have access to our Father, we are His children because of salvation. And the only way to be a child of God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And when you go by the way of Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, and there are certain privileges that we get because He's our Father. I preached Sunday morning on the fact this, that we know we're saved and we know we're going to heaven, but in between there's a period of time in our life. And isn't it such a relief and such a blessing to know that during that period of time of life, we have access to a Father? That's important. You know, so many Christians go through life without accessing this relationship that's there for them to have. You know, the same thing, we still, as human beings, we have those needs, and God the Father, God our Father, is there to meet those needs in our life. You know, we as Christians, we're not just wandering aimlessly in life. We have a Heavenly Father that's there to instruct us and guide us and give us what we need. And Paul's theology teaches us that we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's advantages we have. In verse number 10, the Bible shows us this. You observe days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul is addressing them here saying, you know, you got saved, and now that you're saved, you're starting to go back to observing things and living under the law. But you're not under the law anymore. You're saved. You're under grace now. We don't have to work our way to salvation. We don't have to add anything to our salvation. And Paul's theology teaches us this. We don't exchange one set of rules once we're saved for another set of rules. He said this, the Son makes you free. In John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye are free indeed. The Son gives us victory, not bondage. You know, now that we're saved, we're no longer under the bondage of sin. You know, to try to keep the law, the Bible tells us if we offend in one area of the law, then we've broken all the laws. It's impossible for a Christian to think that they have to keep the laws in order to be saved. It's impossible for anyone to think that they have to keep a law, because it's impossible for a human being to keep the law. We are free in Christ, and we're free from the bondage of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through Jesus Christ. We have victory from sin now that we're saved. You know, so many Christians live under the guilt of sin, and so many Christians live in the bondage of sin. We do not have to live under the bondage of sin. Now that we're saved, we have Christ that makes us free, and we no longer have to continue to live in sin. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We find this, that Paul teaches us that we don't exchange one set of rules for another. He tells us this, shows us this, the Son is what makes us free. The Son gives us victory over bondage, and the Son gives us a relationship, not a religion. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7. Look there with me. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Salvation gives us a relationship with Christ. That ought to excite us as Christians. It's not religion. Religion is about what can I do? What can I contribute? What do I have to do to merit something? A relationship with Christ is this. He did it all on the cross. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm one that enjoys relationships. I like people. Everyone else like that? You like people? You know, there I've met people, they don't like people. And I just don't understand that. I like relationships. I wish I knew already everybody's face and everybody's name and everything about everybody. It just bothers me. One of the things being new bothers me is I don't know everyone like I want to know everyone. But I love relationships. I like to ask people how they are, and I enjoy a relationship. You know, we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, he died for us, and yes, he's our Savior, but he also is there for us to communicate with and have a relationship. Salvation is a relationship through Jesus Christ, not a religious experience. We can have this relationship through Christ, but we ought to know how to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I think we ought to continue in our relationship with Christ. There's always more of Christ we should know. There's always a deeper walk that we ought to have. We always should be studying God's Word, in desiring to know His Word, in studying it at a deeper level so that we can continue in our relationship with the Lord. I believe this. Someone says, I want to know more about the Lord. How do I know more about Jesus? Get into His Word. That's the way you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing more of His Word. Paul's theology teaches us as well that there is so much to rejoice in as a Christian. I want us to look in this chapter as well. Look with me in verse number 7. He says, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There is so much to rejoice in as a Christian. You know, we go through battles in life and go through situations in life. And we go through problems in life. We go through down times in life. But we need to realize this. We are a child of God. We are saved. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God is our Father. There is so much to rejoice in because of that privilege. One of our daughters, Mackenzie, lost a tooth. And she doesn't believe in the tooth fairy. She just likes to get money. So she's really afraid to tell us, I don't believe it. Well, 3 nights in a row, she put this tooth underneath of her pillow and nothing happened. So she came down one night, the fourth night, and she said, hey, Dad, it's been 3 nights. And that tooth is still there. I said, well, maybe, you know, we moved. And maybe, you know, that just didn't, wires got crossed or something, you know. So leave it there. You never know what's going to happen tonight. I go up there and pull some money out. I put some money there. Walk downstairs. My wife the next morning says, do you realize you put a $10 bill? How many teeth does she have in her mouth left to come out? I thought, my goodness. She was rejoicing that morning. She was so excited. She came down. She said, Mom, I've never even had $5 for a tooth. This living in Ohio is great. I got $10 now. And Lily, our one younger than her eyes got big. The next day, she's like, Dad, my tooth is loose. You think we can get it out? Yesterday she said to me, I ate two apples and carrots for lunch. I'm trying to get this tooth out. And I said to my wife, why does she want this tooth out? She said, they get $10 now, you know. It's the going rate for a tooth. You know what? That's such a silly and such a funny story. But you know what they're finding? They're rejoicing in the relationship with their father. You know, even when things aren't the way we want to have it, we ought to rejoice in the fact that we have a Heavenly Father that is there to meet our needs, that's there to comfort us. There is joy in being a Christian. And here, what's happening in Galatians here is this. Paul is introduced to the Christian, the joy in being saved, the freedom that comes in being saved. We're no longer under the law. We're saved by grace, and now we have a relationship with Christ. And then someone comes in and says, oh, no, you've got to go back under the law. You've got to now experience these things. You've got to observe days and months and times and years and be back into bondage. And Paul is saying, why would you want to go back in bondage when you are set free? There's joy in being a child of God. There's blessings in being a child of God. It's not a drudgery to be saved. What a joy it is to know that my Heavenly Father loves me, that my Heavenly Father wants to redeem me back to Him, that my Heavenly Father sent His Son so that I could have a relationship and eternal life with Him through Jesus Christ. What joy in life to know that I've got a Father in heaven that loves me like that. Paul is reminding them, let's not get back into bondage. Let's realize this, there's joy in being saved. He's redeemed us. He's prepared a place for us. And we ought to have joy in that fact. Being a Christian is not something that's woe is me. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. At any time, at any moment, at any situation in the day, I have a Heavenly Father that I can say, Abba, Father, I need you. And He's always there. I always have a relationship through Jesus Christ. I've got such joy in knowing that I'm saved. Paul says, why would you want to go back under bondage? Why would you want anything other than freedom in being a child of God? You know, we can learn from Paul that we're a child of God because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can learn here from Paul, his theology. It teaches us that we don't have to escape one set of rules for another set of rules, but we are free in Christ. And we learn from Paul here as well is there is so much to rejoice in as a child of God. Why would we want to go back living under a law when we can experience grace, when we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that cares for us?